Hi, this is Jim Buzinski in Los Angeles, along with Sid Ziegler in Los Angeles. Welcome to today's Outsports podcast. Today we're talking about Olympics, more specifically men's Olympic figure skating. We have a guest today from the wilds of Calgary, Alberta, Chad Connolly, a former elite Canadian figure skater who I wrote a profile of on Outsports about his sort of coming out story that he said was boring, but I thought it was actually pretty fascinating. So you need to check that out. But Chad did an Olympic men's preview for us. And Chad, you talked about like all the top eight guys in the world and where they're going to rank. And the one person you sort of somehow left off the list was Johnny Weir. How did that happen?
I think what happened was Johnny Weir's a thing of the past when it comes to the elite men's skating world. You know, the last 2 years have just been anything but, you know, an elite life. I mean, it's been, you know, when he first lost his national title in 2007, which he had held for 3 years, when he came back in 2008, he came back hungry. And, you know, even Scott Hamilton had to give him some applause. He shows up to the world, gets that bronze medal, that medal that they had been waiting for years for him to win. Then the following year, you know, blame flu, blame loss of weight, or, you know, whatever it was, falls down to fifth place at the Nationals off the world team. And he kind of came back this year with, you know, third place at the Grand Prix final, but then shows up at Nationals again, lays down his brilliant short program, which he's knowing to do. He gets those eight required elements, and then he shows up for the long, and it's just kind of, you know, blah. And thankfully for him, Ryan Bradley was too far back in fifth place to take that third spot from him. So, you know, Johnny Weir is going to be the center of attention at these Olympics based on politics and scandal more than he is for his skating. And I hope for him and his career, because without two good skates and possibly a medal, you know, anybody who misses that podium can kiss a career goodbye professionally in the sport.
So you have
what? Wait a second. Johnny Weir, the pop star on ice, can kiss away a professional career if he doesn't medal at this Olympics?
Pretty much. There will be no stars on ice for him. you know, he can sit there and he can do his documentaries. That's great. I caught a couple of the preview some little tidbits here and there online through YouTube, just to check out that Johnny Be Good, or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, Johnny Weir is probably going to make a life of, you know, wearing clothing and heels on photo shoots. And, you know, I've just seen enough of Johnny Weir. I've heard enough come out of his mouth. You know, when he was early 20s, you know, all of us had big mouths when we were that age. But now he's 25. It's time to grow up.
Well, you have him seventh. And you have him seventh in your list of things. But you have no Americans in your top four. I'm sorry, you have Evan Lysicek second, right?
Yeah, I think Lysicek is going to be the American man on the international stage. And, you know, he was another one that kind of had his ego handed to him on the plate. I don't know if you caught the U.S. National Championships, but Abbott showed up, and, you know, he looked like he was ready. But the problem with Abbott is you put him on the international scene, and those nerves kick in. And so they could kick in for Evan. They did during the short program at the 2006 Olympics. He is the defending world champion. And as the sport's gone the last three or four Olympics, I mean, being the defending world champion has really cost people their dreams. So, you know, Evan, though, if he puts those jumps down, his program component scores are going to be through the roof, and he will be one of the ones that you want to watch out for, because he's one that, if he knows people are making mistakes, he feeds off of that. So, you know, if he walks onto the ice, you know, say, after Patrick Chan, knowing Patrick Chan may have put his hand down or fallen, Evan's going to feed off that, and Evan's going to use that to fuel his program.
So you have him second. You have Jeremy Abbott, who won the Nationals, fifth. Why is that?
Just based on his international results. you know, 11th place at last year's Worlds after he had won the Grand Prix final and, you know, took the national title away from, well, I don't think he really took it away from Evan Lysacek. Evan looked pretty burnt out at nationals last year and finished third. But ever since then, it's been, you know, 11th place at Worlds, shows up to his first Grand Prix event of this season, ends up fifth, squeaks out a win on a very weak field in Skate Canada to make the Grand Prix final, and then he finishes in second last at the Grand Prix final. So hopefully, I'm hoping that his U.S., because he is, you know, he's a sweet kid, and he's got a lot of soul when he skates, and he stays out of the drama, and, you know, so I hope karma will play on his side at the Olympics, and hopefully, you know, if he makes that podium, I would be very happy about it, because, you know, 26 now, he's not going to be at the next Olympic Games.
But with all this happening in your hometown, you're not even going to be there. You're going to be in class. Is that right?
That is correct. I will be at some practice sessions. I have my tickets. You know, unfortunately, you know, there's more to life than showing up to sit in the stands at the Olympics. There's more to life to being at the national championships in the stands.
Yeah, but even you said it, you thought it was the party of the millennium in your hometown.
Okay, well, you know what? You need to talk to Mr. and Mrs. Conley about that then.
Where are their phone numbers? I'll get you. Tell them to let you go.
You know, and they were like, if you want us to buy you a car, you're going to pay attention in class. Yeah, so, you know, the blackmail's there. Mom usually comes with good blackmail before she sets down the laws. So, you know, I'm not the one that sits there and pays for my tuition. I'm not the one that'll be paying for my car or my car insurance while I'm in school. So I just have to look and smile. And, you know, it's going to suck watching it on TV, but what's even going to be better is when I've got a degree and I'm making, you know, I've got my own money and I can look at her and say, I'll fucking go to the Olympics if I want to or not. So,
you know, I think that's kind of interesting that, you know, you think of you were an elite level athlete. And I think the perception of the general public is that, oh, if you're performing in a sport at that level for a couple of years, you're set for life. But mom and dad are buying you cars.
Yeah, people seem to think that we just, you know, sign our multi-million-dollar stars on ice contracts, and we seem to just not do anything for our, you know, we don't ever, ever, ever have to think about the future. And when I was 15, I mean, I sat there and went, I'm going to have multi-million-dollar contracts. Why do I have to bother going to high school? You know, you think the world's your oyster at 15 when you're sitting on that podium at the Junior National Championships. You know, and sadly, it's not the way it goes. You know, I've had some... You know, I've had to have jobs. I have a job now. I work part-time. I bartend. You know, there's lots of skaters. You know, all of them, there was a few of them doing articles this year. I mean, one of our former national championships, two-time Olympic team member, has gone broke. Yvonne Shapiro, who's representing Canada at this year's Olympics, you can expect to hear about him because of his severe, he's got the highest and fastest jumps right now on the circuit. He was in the newspaper talking about how this will probably be the only Olympics he goes to because he is so financially in debt. His parents can't afford, or it seems his parents aren't paying for everything. He has maxed out the loans, and he thanked three major credit card companies for the extended credit. And, you know, it's all good. Like, you know, I had a lot of years where I was spoiled and I didn't have to work. So, I mean, you know, I guess I'm having to do the things that I do now. Whatever, it's all good.
Well, talk a bit about sort of with the whole men's thing. About you had mentioned to me in our story that you thought half the skaters you competed with or against were gay, but it wasn't much of an issue. Do you think that still holds at the Olympic level?
Yeah, I don't think that you know, everybody gets together in the gossip room and plays who's gay and who's straight. I think that'll be the last thing on their minds at this year's Olympics is, you know, who's getting on their knees to suck some dick. They're not, you know, those boys, it's a wide open field this year. I mean, every newspaper has said the men's event is a wide open field. You know, that there is no clear-cut favorite, that there is no clear-cut podium. And so I don't think gay will be the issue. In Torino, every article that I read, it had, you know, they were talking about Johnny Weir, or that Swedish skater, whatever his name is. You'd think I'd know his name because he's on my Facebook. and this year, it's, you know, this year it's all about who has a racially motivated program and who's going to be wearing real fur to the ice. PETA better get involved. I mean, it's just turned into a big show, and, you know, it'll be, you know, it's not even a factor in today's conversations, I guess. So talking about Johnny Weir being gay is like, you know, talking about the movement of the 60s.
But you have, I mean, you talk about how wide open it is, and you got a boring pick for the gold medal, Plushenko again. Where's your guts?
Plushenko is the one that has two quads in his program, and he is the one that is only, the scoring system is really, really, really nasty. And that is, if you cheat your jumps, you are crucified. If you over-rotate your jumps, you're crucified. Your foot goes down. Your grade of execution points go down. And for Plushenko, because he rotates those jumps, you know, the way it's looking is if Plushenko stands up, because the rest of them sure as hell aren't, Plushenko will be on top of that podium. So, and that sucks for them because, you know, Plushenko's been away for 4 years. He didn't even skate on any sort of show last year or anything. He went and had surgery on his knees. I wish he would have had surgery on his nose, too, but it didn't happen.
So the Olympic men's figure skating event comes down to whether somebody lands two jumps.
It's not going to be who lands two jumps. It's going to be who can keep their lips off the ice. That's the thing with this year's Olympic Games, is the reason why this field is wide open is because there is not one skater who is capable of winning Olympic gold that has laid down two decent programs this year. The only one that's done that is Plushenko. It's not very pretty to watch. I think, you know, his scores have been a bit padded, and that is because he's appeared at Cup of Russia. He's appeared at the Russian National Championships. I mean, that is a predominantly Russian judging event, particularly the Russian Nationals. But he won't take the deductions that the other guys are going to take. I mean, you know, those attempts on the quads, I mean, if they fall, it's one thing if they've rotated the jump fully and their blade has landed backwards. If they hit 3 3/4 and they fall, they're only getting credit for a triple jump, and also they're only going to, their PSC score and their GOE score for that jump is going to go down. So when you're taking all of these deductions, you know, yeah, you had a great program, but every time you fuck that jump up, you're losing 5 points.
Is that because of the new scoring system?
The new scoring system, you know, it rewards artistry, but it's also rewarding the technical it's so out of control. These, it's like science, you know, you have to be all of a sudden you need a Harvard degree in mathematics out on that ice. Because in your mind, you have to sit there and think, how am I going to bankroll these points? Somebody like Johnny Weir does not have that in his DNA. He needs to, in order for him to pose a threat at this Olympics, you know, he himself said, I've lost more competitions this year due to the lack of double toes. Well, what he means is it's not because he hasn't done double toes. It's because these boys are sitting here, they're doing triple lutz, triple toe, and then adding double loops. And Johnny Weir is going down the ice and doing his triple lutz, triple toe, and he calls it a day. Johnny's all about the show. So first and foremost, all these boys need to remember that this is a technical competition. But they also need to remember that they have to put the performance on of their lives. Whoever wins gold out there, this time is truly the greatest survivor of the pressure. So, you know, it's not back in the day 6.0. I mean, Plushenko would have just taken it. I mean, we might as well have not even been there. So, you know, I've got Plushenko at the top. So do a lot of other polls. The Chicago Tribune just did one. Plushenko is the man to watch for. Even some of the skating magazines have done it, and they've all picked Plushenko too. So I'm not the only one sitting there going, I think Plushenko's going to take this. I think Plushenko's going to take this because he's the only one that knows how to rotate his jumps properly.
Well, there you go. Man.
Well, I can't argue with you, Chad, since you know more about your skating and your little finger than I know my entire body.
Right. Maybe I should try talking about football sometime.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we need to do. We need to have Chad on for the Super Bowl preview next year.
Oh, why? So then I can bash Tim Tebow or whatever his name is? You know, I saw his ads. You know what that guy needs?
Oh, make it R-rated. Don't make it X-rated.
You know what that guy needs? What? Somebody needs to shove something down his throat so he shuts up. Seriously. So, you know, like, ugh, I can't believe it. And that's what church does to you, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, as someone who was raised in a Mennonite farming community, so...
Yeah, well, you know, I was also a junior camp counselor at Bible camp, too, when I was like 14. Can you believe that?
Well, you and Tim Tebow have a lot more in common than I do with Tim Tebow. So, well, Chad, we got to come to
Tebow. You know, the difference between Tim Tebow and I is that, you know, if my parents were to divorce, they would, you know, be divorced parents. His parents divorced, they would still be first cousins.
Well, I think we've gotten off track here.
We have. Okay.
Well, Chad, we're also running out of time, so we're gonna have to cut this short. But this was a terrific interview, and you do you write a very long and very well good preview. Check out our Olympics blog on outsports.com to read Chad's opinions on the
topic. Those guys better read it. I spent a lot of time on that. Anyways, guys, thank you so much. And it's actually sunny today in Calgary. It's not minus 23 like it was 2 days ago. So I think I'm actually going to walk to school.
Enjoy your stroll.
Yes. All the best. And, you know, make sure you turn in and watch the Olympics. I mean, if not for the men's event itself, just for the drama that Johnny Weir will probably bring into PNE Coliseum.
Don't worry. We'll all be watching.
Okay. Take care. Have a good one, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.